Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Vov. And we got up to the two dots, four lines down from the opening. Tana Rabbana, what is the Lashon of the Yoreh? We spoke about the first rains. Natati Metaret Zechem Bito Yoreh Umalkosh. What is the Lashon of Moreh? So there are many different elements of it. First of all, yoreh means to teach. And there's people who are very stupid, so they require teaching every year to remember to repair their roofs in advance of the winter. And if you don't have the Misrad HaTachbura putting up these big signs, Hachein Richbecha L'Choref, they're going to end up with their cars stalling. They haven't checked their batteries, their brakes, so on. So therefore, the Torah calls the first rain that comes down a little bit in advance of the big rains of the season. This way you'll get your roof fixed in time before it starts leaking. So le'atiach gagotehem, bring in the perot that are left drying in the fields and on the roof, get it indoors, and do whatever needs to be done for the winter. Another explanation of yoreh is the sense of miraveh. Miraveh means that it satisfies and that it saturates deeply. Umashke ad hatahon. We find that lashon in the pasuk actually, because shenemar tilameh raveh uses a lashon of raveh. So raveh means to make it satisfied, meaning that like a person who has had his fill of drink. So here it means the earth is completely saturated, and that is nached gedudeh. So this means by doing the raveh, meaning by bringing the rain so deeply all the way down, it brings pleasure to the gedudim. The gedudim are the people who live on the earth, because now you will be mavorech the tzimcha by making the earth wet and soft and easy to grow in.
If the Rebbe is saturated with drink, the talmidim grow very well. Mamish Remez.
Does anybody get a sense of monomania around here?
I thought Rebbe was going to say Barnea's all wet.
Barnea says that. Davar acher, yore means sheyoreh benachat. Why does it mean nachat? Because when one teaches, one speaks gently. You're supposed to make the learning fun and easy, and not to get angry. And because of that, it's the same lashon. So it's yoreh benachat, ve'eno yoreh bezaf, and it doesn't come down with anger. Rashi also suggests that yoreh is a lashon of shooting arrows. So when you're shooting arrows, you aim to the particular point, and therefore, if they fall straight, it means that there's not a lot of wind, and it's not the wind, the rain isn't coming down with the zaf of ruchot, maybe that's a lashon. Ask the Gemara, but how do you know that the word yoreh means that? Maybe the word yoreh could mean like the Lashon of yoro yoreh, like on Har Sinai. Anybody that comes close is going to be thrown off and be niskal. I mean, maybe that's what it means. Maybe it means that it's going to cause any fruits, let's say esrogim, they stay on the tree, even then, it'll cause them to fall off, and it'll wash away the zraim, and it'll wash away the trees, which happens when you have these terrible storms. Now that's a little weird, isn't it? Because I mean, it's coming from the pasuk of Ve'haya im shom moat tishmu, v'natati mitar tzachen biito yorel malkosh. So how could it be referring to a klola? That's really crazy. So Rashi says, I just want to mention that it is not clear that the Pirushan Tanya is Rashi, or that it's Kulei Rashi anyway. So, but in any event, he suggests that this is the derech of the brises anyway. Not to worry about context, but to worry about issues which are obviously not real, but just to speak out and see how we would understand the word. An alternative, I mean, the way Rashi makes that work out is by saying that maybe, v'haya im shamoa tishma'u, and then the v'natati mitar tzachem goes back on if you don't listen, because if you don't listen, even though he says it's a little ridiculous, but, you know, okay, so the Bryce is experimenting with that possibility. There are other terutzim that are given, how it could be that maybe, like, certain things, that it's actually bad for the tree, like if the pears are still on the tree, like an esrog, but for other trees it wouldn't be, weak to roots. But anyway, so how do we know? Because the Torah puts together Yoreh u'Malkosh. The Malkosh has got to be Libracha, because it can't mean breaking things from the Lashon of Molel, to break off, to cut off, like Milah. It's got to mean, because there's nothing there yet. It's too early in the season. It's early in the spring, basically. And we don't have yet the full trees with fruit and so on. So, but Pashtus, it has to be something that's nice. And if it comes at the wrong time, it's the wrong time that makes it the clog. Says the Gemara, wait a minute, but you're right that the fruit isn't there, but it could still be called Malkosh because of what it does to the electric wires and what it does to the homes. So maybe it's called Malkosh because it's Mapilat Abadim. Maybe it's Mishaberat Ilanot. Maybe it damages the trees, not the peres. Maybe because it's Malat Asaka'in. Maybe because it brings up locusts, grasshoppers, and so on. And then we're going to see later that there's a concept of Malkosh because it actually is Molel Koshiotayim Shel Yisrael. It causes them to do teshuvah. That, of course, is in the sense if it doesn't come. But here we're experimenting with the possibility of Malkosh actually meaning something that is Molel. So maybe that's what it means. Well, it could mean that because the Torah says Yoreh. Yoreh is for a bracha. So then that means the Malkosh is for a bracha. You know, you're driving me a little bit crazy over here. You told me that Yoreh must be the bracha because Malkosh is a bracha. And now I ask you, how do you know Malkosh is a bracha? Now you tell me because Yoreh is a bracha. That's a big help. I'm asking you about the Yoreh. Can we start from the beginning? How do we know Yoreh Gufe? How do we know Yoreh is the bracha? Because the Pasuk says Beferish in Yoel, which we used as the indication of the time that was mamish in the Mishnah, in the opening Mishnah of the old Sugya, we brought the Pasuk from Yoel. And the beginning of that Pasuk was, Uvnei Tzion, Gilu v'simchu b'Hashem Elokechem, ki natan lachem et amore litzdaka, v'yored lachem ger Hashem, more u'makosh barishon. So the whole idea over there is that it's an act of tzedakah. So obviously it's chasodim that are meant to be appreciated and are not being said as a threat of any kind. Tana Rabbana. Yoreh comes during Cheshvan. The Malkosh comes during Nisan. Now, before we begin the sugya, I must tell you, I have never seen in any of the Rishonim a hesber of the entire structure of the following Gemara, which makes the absurd assumption that the idea of the Yoreh and Malkosh and the different times of the Revia in great diktuk is on the 7th of the month or the 10th of the month or the 17th of the month or the 23rd of the month or the 1st of Kislev. I mean, this is absolutely nonsensical, because since the rains are dependent on the solar year, why in the world are we giving them exact dates based on the lunar year? And what in the meaning is talking about Cheshvan and talking about Nisan and talking about what doesn't make any sense at all? I cannot find a single Rishon that is Masber this Inyan. And it's absolutely astonishing. And it seems to me that what we're doing over here is a very profound continuation of the Gemara's initial assumption that there's a deep link between Rosh Hashanah and Ta'anit. And we explored that on the first and second days of our learning of Ta'anit. And if you take into consideration that this interrelationship between the lunar and solar year has to do with another thing, which is that the Natati Metaratzachem Bi'ito is explained by Chazal as meaning on Leil Shabbatot, or Leile Revi'iot, right? Where it's Noach Lebriot. That's Bi'ito? Isn't Bi'ito the question of the seasons? Don't we actually, in Chutz La'aretz, aren't we Koveya, the time of being Shael Geshamim, by the Tkufa, which is entirely the solar year? So how did we get confused over here of the reaction that the Brios have to the rain? to the point that we're calling the rain the Yoreh because it teaches people how to respond to the seasons. So it seems to me that the point over here of the machlokas that we're going to have with Rabbi Yossi and with Rabbi Yehuda and with Rabbi Meir and the different shitas of the exact date, these are elements that have nothing to do with weather patterns. They have to do with the way that people relate to the year, and that it's after Sukkot, and that it's already Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, or that Hanukkah is near, or that we finished Pesach, and it has to do with the way that the Briyos relate to their sense of where they are in the season, and not to a particular time of when the season is in terms of the solar year. So if you're living in Chutz Laretz, where that type of relationship is meaningless, and we'll see today that halacha l'maisa, the Rama Paskins and Mishnah Berurah says this, that when you're living in Chutz Laretz, you do not make the bracha on the Geshamim, because there's no sensitivity to the Geshamim. And because of that, it simply goes according to the solar year. And there's no sense of bracha, there's no sense of hodoya. The Mishnah Berurah questions, maybe in countries where there's a definite dry season and rainy season, even there, maybe we'll only make a bracha on Geshamim if there was a long period of drought, so then people become sensitive. But like this, there's no sensitivity. Whereas if you contrast that with the response in Eretz Yisrael to the Geshamim, where literally little kids go dancing down the street, talking about how happy they are at the Geshamim, so you see that it's very deeply a question of people's responsiveness to the Geshamim. And that's why the issue today about which bracha do you make in the Geshamim and how that varies is basically, this is, as Iris pointing out, this was the original lack of response to Geshamim. And the whole idea of the Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot interaction with the din on the Mayim and the Aveda on the Mayim and the model for that Aveda of the Lulav and Esreg, or the question of the actual bringing the Nisach HaMayim al HaMizbeach. These are things that are deeply and intimately integrated with the question of Ta'anit. And as Ira just pointed out, the original lack of care in the world for Geshamim, in which case it was entirely the Ediale. Whereas the idea of the Tefillahs on the Geshamim, which it's going to turn out that the following discussion is nogea not only the Tefillahs, but the Taniyot on the Geshamim. And as we, again, on that first day when we introduced the concept of Tainus and how the Rambam relates all of responsiveness to the Taniyot. So this is actually deeply nogea, the way that people respond. And if you feel, my gosh, it's already Kislev and the rains haven't started, so if somebody points out to you, yeah, but this Kislev is a very early Kislev. Next year is going to be a leap year. You know, it doesn't change anything, right? So it's really part of the idea of this level of integration, of the feelings, the emotions, of being a local Nivra, and the question of where that Bria is in terms of orbiting around a star, that is really not Nogea locally to ask him. Okay, so that, I think, is the only way to understand the entire following sugya. So, Tana Rabbana, the Yoreh, that mention of Yoreh is talking about Cheshva. And the Malkosh, which is the last rains, that is in Nisan. Well, I mean, so say you. Atalmer Yoreh b'mar Cheshva l'malkosh b'nisan. I mean, it's possible that the Yoreh would be a reference to very early rains. Maybe the Yoreh should start falling already in Tishrei. Yoreh b'Tishrei, and the Malkosh should even be in Iyar, because we still have things out in the field. So there's Malkosh, that's Memale the Kashim. It makes things get, like that last rain can really fill them up. And we'll say that the word Malkosh, we're going to see, means Shiyored ala Melilot v'ala Kashim. So it's got the full ears, plus they're still on the stalk. There's both on the Kash and the Melilot. So maybe that is a reference to the last of the last. The earliest of the early and the last of the last. And that's the concept of Yoreh Malkosh, and that's the way we're supposed to relate to it when we're looking forward to the Geshamim for being Mevakesh, and when we would be Pesach. No, That's why the Torah is stressing Be'ito. I mean, if the word Yore Umalkosh is by definition a reference to the time, as you're explaining, so then why would the Torah stress Be'ito? So it must mean that it is in the most beneficial time, and the most beneficial time is indeed when the Yore is in Cheshvan and the Malkosh is in Nisan, and that's when it's going to have the greatest impact. I'm not saying that it's not useful and under those other circumstances, but that's not what the Torah would be stressing when it says Be'ito, would it? Okay, so now we've spoken about the Yore. There's going to be three terms that we have to define. The Yore, the Malkosh, and then the nature of a particular rainfall within those times, which is called a Revia. So now let's first discuss, we finished our discussion about the More. Let's discuss the Malkosh. What does Malkosh mean? Omar Revni Eloi Baridi Omar Shmuel. This is something that is Mal Kashyutayam Shel Yisrael. This is something that cuts off the koshi, that the hard-necked people, stubborn people, that they don't do teshuva. This is something that'll bust them, man. Because if you don't have that rain, they will be chayzer b'tshuva. And then they do teshuva and they make a tainus and so on. So this is the whole point. And that's how the rains are deeply related to tainus. It's not just that the tefillah is the initial tefillah in the world is the tefillah on rains. But the ta'aniyot are built on the responsiveness that people feel a sense of emergency. They look out on their fields and the things are drying and they're not getting that last neshamim that they need to give us beautiful fruits for the whole year. It creates a real response and they begin to worry. So this is true both of the Yore, which is morel abrios on one simple level, and the Malkosh, which is the last shock that we could lose it all. The Ve'rev Yishmol Tana, it's a simple word that comes from Malay and Kashim. So what it means is that it fills up the tevua, which is growing, when it is still on its stalk. So in other words, it's the last rain that is going to get some moisture, additional moisture, into the grain. In the Braita, it says, Mal Kosh means Mililot and Kashim. The Mililot, remember, are the shibolot. It's the seeds, it's the actual ears that you rub. So that's molel. You rub them between your fingers and you soften them, you chew on them, and that's great. And on the stalk, because it's still in that period that you both have melilos and you have kashim. Tana Rabban. Yore comes b'mar cheshvan. Malkosh comes b'nisan. I hear it say brighta. Maybe the Yoresh is already okay for Kislev. You know, when Kislev comes around, we'll see there is such a shita. So then that means just as the Malkosh has got to be at a very particular time, that is Melila and Kashim, that we just explained, and that is Nisan, af yore b'ito. So then that means that is Mar Cheshvan. There's a question whether to be gores, because Rashi explains that the inyan over here is just to fulfill the need for molel, the mililos, and the kashim. Here, the Gemara is trying to give, and therefore some say that this wasn't the correct girsa, a different reason for why the Malkosh can only be before, in the correct time in Nisan. It can't be a month later. Because kivan shiyatza Nisan v'yaduki shamim, it's no longer a simin bracha. Okay. Tanya Idach, another brisa. Yore b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. So says Rabbi Meir. But the Chachomim say, no, actually the Yore is in Kislev. Who's that shita? Kislev, we've been talking about all of these brisot. We've been talking about our Mishnah, about when it is that we're going to start being shoyled. Well, how did we get to Kislev? Who are these Chachomim? And of course, the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So man Chachomim, Om Rav Chisda, that's going on libid Rabbi Yossi. Because here are the dates of the different shitas that are given in the Brit. A Zohi Revi'a Rishona. What is considered to be the time of the first rain? Now, it's clear from the Rishonim that the meaning of these times is not that it is supposed to rain on these three dates, even though that's the way people understand it, but that's not the point. The point is that there are three beginnings. In other words, people relate in different ways to how it is that the year could begin. So they can start facing the winter in the Revi'i Rishayna. They could talk about it in the Shniya. They could talk about it in the Shlishis. Now, it could, these are Nogea halachas about fasting, about the She'elah al-Geshamim, and many other fascinating halachas that we're going to see. And what's more, they are also the times that mark the intersection, if it was raining the whole time, as we're going to see. It doesn't mean that it rains on these 3 dates. But if, in fact, it rained in these 3 dates, so then that means that you were already Mekayim, the different all 3 shiurim for all of the halachas, which is Nogea Biur during Shminis after Shemitah, it's Nogea Nedarim, it's Nogea Taniyot, it's Nogea Leket Shikopea, it's Nogea the rights to walk in people's fields of the Tanai Yoshua. We're going to see how all of these things are interrelated. So that, again, if we're correct, that we're talking about something that is psychological and has to do with the way that we relate to the month. By the way, remember that halacha l'maisa, we find that there are dates that are kavua, as the Bir Halacha brings, by the Parshat HaShavua. So forget about the issue of the element of a date. Obviously, a Parshat HaShavua is really variable in terms of its relationship to everything, both to the lunar date and to the solar date. And Afalpikin, because of the change of being kovea, one, what we call one parsha, one sedra, for each week, we actually started dating various things that different communities keep by the Parshat HaShavua. So this is not so strange. So here are the times. It's going Alib de Rabbi Yossi, because the Braita says like this. What is the first rainfall? The first rainfall is Davka Ezer Revi'a Rishona on the 3rd day of Cheshvan. That's the Bechira. That's like the early rainfall. The Beinonit, a middle time to begin. Again, the Rambam talks this out, the Farish, that we're talking about beginnings. And there's a Sfasemes that explains that you have to understand the Gemara this way. It doesn't mean that it doesn't relate to raining the whole time also, as we're about to see. But it's not a stira. Beinonit, an intermediate day in which the person says, oh, this is a particular time we could start, would be on the 7th day of Mar Cheshvan. And the last, the Afilah, is on the 17th of Cheshvan. So kind is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not 3, 7, and 17. It's 17 and it's 7, 17, 23. That's how he puts it. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not. It's 17, 23, 1. So, in other words, each one begins by the last date of the previous Shita. So, according to Rabbi Yossi, we see that Rosh Chodesh Kislev is considered to be the Yore. So, v'cheno ya Rabbi Yossi Omer. Eina yechidim mitanin. You don't feel even the most chashuv people, we're going to see that we call them yechidim, that are extremely sensitive, and they start to worry if the Eretz Yisrael is not getting its rain at the proper time. They are sensitive to the first feelings of, a drought is coming. So according to Rabbi Yossi, even they don't start fasting unless it's already the last time of the Yoreh, and that is already in Kislev. So because of that, when we said before that the Yoreh is in Kislev, it's clearly going according to Rabbi Yossi, says Rabbi Chista. Omer of Chista, that's how we pask. So that actually the Yoreh is considered to be Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Amemar, he said that what Rabbi Chista said was different. It was going on the Mishnah that we have later on, and I mentioned to you that on Daf Yud, that's when we're going to get into the final way of understanding these different times, that b'shlosha b'mar cheshvan sho'alim et ha'geshamim. So the geshamim is on the 3rd for she'ela. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, it's on the 7th, which is what we do. And Omer of Chista halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel, which is actually the psak that the Rambam takes. Now, in terms of she'ela, so we have 3 different shitas, right? Now, the question is, Kiman Ozlo HaDetanya. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel gives us a hint as to the relationship of the various times of the Yoreh. Now again, this is an indication. It doesn't mean that we need to have a rain on each one of these times, or that the rain is supposed to be going all through these times. It's, again, the beginning times. But, as Reb Shimon ben Gamliel pointed out, let's say you get a big rainstorm, and it rains for 7 days in a row, which might not mean 7 days in a row, as we're about to see. It might mean seven 24-hour periods, but they might be separated by hours between them so that they fall over a period of 8 days, because there's no other way to really understand the Gemara. And if you have a seven-day storm, then that would be the Revia Rishona and the Shnia, or the Shnia and the Shlishit, if it fell, depending obviously when it fell. Now, who would possibly be the author of such a sheet? That Rabbi Gamliel is saying is the reality, and this is the reason that he's pointing it out, besides simply explaining to you that you don't need separate occurrences of rain in order to be able to get to the next stage. And over there, it's really a stage because of the implications of the halacha of the next stage, as we'll see in a moment. So whose sheet is this? This could only be going according to Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is the only one who says the 17th, the 23rd, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev, right? So if you started at the 17th and you go to the end of the 23rd, you hit the 23rd. Again, this means that there wasn't necessarily the entire time, but there was seven 24-hour periods that weren't separated by a whole day. So then you would have both the Revia Rishona and the Revia Shnia. Or let's say it starts raining on the 23rd. And it stops raining on Rosh Chodesh. Again, here for sure, it's going to be 8 days, and therefore for sure you're going to have to say that because it's the 30th day, which is the Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Fine, but again, you will have both the second and the third Revia, which will be Nogea LaHalacha. And you don't say, well, this is all one storm, it's got to rain again. No. Okay, but meanwhile, he's basically going like Rabbi Yossi, because it doesn't work according to anybody else. Rabbi Meir holds that there's only 4 days from the 3rd to the 7th between 1 and 2 Revias, and then there's 10 days from the 7th to the 17th for 2 and 3, so forget about it. Rabbi Meir is out of the running. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make any sense at all, because he holds that both 1 and 2 and 2 and 3 are both 10 days separated, right? So there's no way it could work out according to him. The first is 10 days apart from the second. Omer of Chista. And here is what we said, that halacha is Rabbi Yossi, and that means that if you have the three Yoreh, so it's got to be that it must be the 17th, the 23rd, and 1. 17, 23, 1. That's how to talk about Rabbi Yossi. Now, who cares? What does all this mean? I don't understand, says the Gemara. Well, there's no significance in a Revia, is there? There was a significance in the beginning of when it is we do She'ela. That I understand. What's all this rest of the stuff about? The opening and the middle and the last one. I mean, I understand that the first one we need to know. Bishlam a Revia Rishona. That's when we start the She'elat Kishamim V'tein Talu Matar. So, of course, it's very important to be defining it. And I even understand why we need to know the end, because that's when, like we just mentioned, Ein Ayichidim Mitanim Ela. Okay, so then clearly the third one is referring to the sensitive people who immediately begin the response of Ta'aniyot as soon as they are aware of the fact that the last opportunity for a normal Yoreh has passed. But what's the point of a middle stage? What's the middle stage's meaning in terms of the halacha? Omer Rabbi Zera, it's very nogea. It's nogea nidarim, because we learn in the Mishnah of Nidarim, suppose somebody makes a neder, ad hagishamim, that this is what I'm going to do. I won't be neder from you until the rains. What defines the rains? It means up until mishi yerdu gishamim, or if he says, sorry, from the beginning of the rains. What does that mean? It means the second rain, because it's the rain, so it means the middle Revia. So it means the time when we can expect already, not we can hope, but we can expect. That's the Revia Shnia. Rav Zvid said, I'll tell you another very good reason for why we need to know the middle rain, the second rain. That's because it has to do with olives. Pay close attention, Ira. So the point of olives is, me'ematai kol adam, sorry, me'ematai kol adam mutarin, b'leket b'shikho b'peya. When do you have a right, even if you're not an ani, to take what was left in the fields, either as leket or shikha or peya, and when is it stealing from the aniyim and when is it not? So the point at which you're allowed to take is mishi yalchu hanimushot. After the people that have passed by, who are a mimashmesh biyadayim, they like go and they go through every single piece. If those aniyim have already gone through the field, nobody else is going to come looking. So that means if you happen to stumble over a piece of leket and so on, or shikha or peya, you have a right to do it. So when does that begin? So first of all, leket shikha peya, that's bishiyach hanimushot. When are you allowed to take an ikerem of a vineyard, peret uva ololot, which are the different grapes that you have to leave behind? That's after the aniyim have gone through your vineyard once and gone through it again. And what about zeitim? Zeitim become mutter for you after the revi'a shniyah. So therefore, it's nogeya the revi'a shniyah, says Reb Zvid. By the way, what's the meaning of nimushot? On Reb Yochanan, it means the old people who are walking around on canes. And they're basically bent over so that they see everything on the ground. They're walking slow. And if they didn't find it, nobody else figures they're going to find it. So none of the aniyim are going to come anymore. And because of that, it's basically going to end up as being hefker. Rish Lakish says, the meaning of nimushot are likute botar likute. Those are people that they work together as the first and the second. So let's say a father and a son team up in order to do the picking up from the field. They're a poor family. So the guy's got his kids with him. So when Papa goes by and the kids are behind him and they're all really anxious to prove that they found something that Papa left behind, right? So if they've gone by, believe me, you ain't going to find nothing. So therefore, the aniyim are misyayish. And if you happen to stumble over something, that you can take. Rav Papa says, I'll tell you why you need to know the middle revia. It's because it's Nogea, the Tanai that Yoshua made of Eretz Yisrael. One of the 10 Tanayim of Yoshua is that the public has a right to walk through your field. That's called Shvilei Rishut, at a time that the field will not be damaged by it. But once it's the season, and it's already the rainy season, you're not allowed to walk through somebody's field. So that's Nogea, Kedei Lahalech B'Shvilei Rishut. That since the Omar Mar, that all people are allowed to be mahalchin b'shvil ha-reshut when achatered revi'a shniyah. So you're telling me you don't understand why it's important to know when the revi'a shniyah is? How are you allowed to cut through someone's field? Only if you're a baki when the revi'a shniyah is. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, I'll tell you another reason. It's lava er perot shvi'it. You got to find out when you're mechuyev to get rid of the straw, the pieces that you're going to be using in your home, because ditnan, we find in the Mishnah in Shviyas, that it says, ad matai ne'anim visorfim. So up until what point are you allowed to be nene from the tevin and the kash of Shviyas? When we get there, we're going to see that this Gemara is very problematic because you're not allowed to burn it. So this is very, very different than the Mishnah that we have in Shviyas. And therefore, the sorfim doesn't seem to make any kind of sense at all. Okay, but we'll talk about it when we get there, Bezrat Hashem, soon. Because at the revi'a shniyah, at that point, it's already messed up. Because what's the svara? Since the idea of biur comes from where? Veli v'emtecha v'lachaya asher be'artzecha. That you are allowed to have it as long as it's available for your animals and for the wild chayot. Which means, as long as the wild animals would be able to get it in the wild, you're allowed to feed it to your animals in your barns. But the moment that it is not available in nature, outdoors, you are not allowed to take it into your barns and to feed it to your animals. So kol olachayim min hasadeh, kol olaveyam techa min habayit. But once already the revi'ah shniyah has arrived, at that point everything has become one big compost heap, because it's all mud and it's all rotting, and at that point it's no longer something that is available to the chaya, and therefore you cannot keep it in your barn. Amar Rebbe Abo, what exactly do we mean? We explained what we mean with the word yore. We explained what we mean with many variations. We explained what we mean in the meaning of malkosh. But what is the meaning of revia as a rainfall? The rainfall is actually a sexual reference, and it means davar sherovea et hakarka. So we see the rain as impregnating the ground, and therefore we see the falling of the rain as a penetration of the ground. And that's exactly the way Rav Yehuda says it. Mitra, the rain, is considered to be the male, the husband of the earth. Shenemar, ki ka'asher yered ha-geshem ve'ha-sheleg min ha-shamayim, v'shama lo yashuv ki im hirvat ha-aret ve'holi da ve'yitzmicha. So v'holi da means that we look at these drops of rain the way that we look at drops of sperm. And it causes holida, it causes fertility, it causes children, so to speak. In other words, the things that are going to grow is called the same lashon as leida. I mean, leida? Isn't leida this whole process of mammals and stuff? Do you see from here that says Rabbi Yehuda that the idea, therefore, of a revia is the relationship of male and female? The Omer Rebbe Abo, revi'ah rishona, but when we say a rainfall, now that you understand that it means penetration, how much penetration? It's kedei sheteret bekarka tefach. It's only considered to be, in terms of the taniyot, says Rashi, that this way, if you had that amount of rain, then you were zocha already to the revi'ah. But it's only if it penetrates all the way down to one tefach deep, you're feeling the water in the ground. The second revia, that's only kedei lagufba pi chavit. It's only if you now have such soft ground that you could simply take it, make it into the shape of the magufat achovis, the covering of the barrel, let it dry, and then put it on top of the barrel. Omer of Chista, geshamim sheyardu kedei lagufba pi chavit. If you have that amount of rain, then you know that you're not included that year in the klola of the atzar et ha-shamayim velo yematar. There's no more of the atzar at that point. The Omer of Chista, if the geshamim were yored before the time of saying the atzar et ha-shamayim, meaning in Kriyat Shema, so that means that you had, before your Kriyat Shema, a rainfall, then you know that it's gufa bringing out. There's no v'yatzarat ha-shamayim. As you said the word v'yatzarat ha-shamayim, the earth was soaking wet with rain. Wow. So now you feel again, psychologically, whole, complete. I don't have to worry about this anymore. Omer Rabbi, now wait. Which Kriyat Shema? Kriyat Shema in the morning or Kriyat Shema in the evening? I mean, this is only true about lo amra lakodim v'atzar du'urta. You're talking about if it's Kriyat Shema in the night. So then that means that the rain has been falling during the day. But if you wake up in the morning and you say your Kriyat Shema and the ground is wet and you're feeling all yummy because now you don't have to worry about Vatsar, it doesn't mean a darn thing. There you could still be, Chas v'Chalila, included in the Klola of Vatsar et HaShamayim. Because Rav Yehuda Bar Yitzchak points out that when you have clouds up there early in the morning and it looks like it's going to be a nice rainy day, don't even think about it. Don't mean a thing. Let bu mishasha, it doesn't prove anything, because we see this in the Pasuk in Hosea. Ma'eselecha Ephraim, ma'eselecha Yehuda, v'chastechem ka'anan boker. Yeah, you're always so good to me. You're always promising the world. You know what it's like? It's like the clouds that appear in the morning. As soon as the sun comes out, bye-bye clouds. And now it looks like, I thought it was going to be such a beautiful day of rain. And now it's going to be a day without rain. How could that be? You know that Rav Papa always was the one who asks questions from Tolkien, right? So Rav Papa says it's impossible because we know the popular saying. As people say, Bemiftach Bave Mitra, when you open up the doors in the morning to rain, Bar Chamra, you're a chamor driver, or your truck driver, we would say today, that's got his truck filled with things to bring to market, forget about it. Moch Sakha, what you should do is wrap up your merchandise, Ugene, go back to bed, because the rain in the morning, people are going to say, whoa, so now that means prices are going to be falling. I ain't buying today because people are going to be bringing all kinds of fresh things to market. You better wait till you bring your stuff to market. How would that saying have ever become popular if what you're saying is true, that chastachem is kanan and boker? If anan boker doesn't mean anything, it's impossible. Says the Gemara, no. It's not impossible. It depends what you're talking about. Ha de kater be Eva and ha de kater be Anani. Now, Eva means cumulus clouds, thick, real, meaningful clouds. There, tell the truck driver to go back to bed. But if you're talking about kater be Anani, you've got these clouds, you know, these wispy clouds that come by in the morning and they're more like just morning mist. That's chas v'chem ka'anan boker. Rav Yehuda also said, in light of, he's using the same metaphors about men and women. So happy year it is where Tevet is an almana. So she doesn't have any husband, meaning that it doesn't rain during Tevet. Why is it good? Some say, delo bayre tarbitze. And some say, delo shokel shutfana. So some say it's because that way the roads aren't ruined, in which case the Talmidim can come to yeshiva, and they can learn. Well, another Lashon Rashi brings is tarbitze. Maybe it's talking about mokum shemarbitzim by Torah. Maybe it's talking about gardens, vegetable gardens, and that they won't get killed with the too much water. And others learn because that way you're not going to end up with the bad impact of too much water where it gets blighted. Lo shakol shutfana. Is that true, though? Didn't Rav Chista say just the opposite? That it's a happy year when Tevet is minavalta, when it's like completely muddy and filthy, that's the best time for Tevet. No kasha, it depends. Did the year begin dry or did the year begin with a lot of rain? So when we're talking about it's better for it to be dry during Tevet, is where we had plenty of rains to get the agriculture going, and now we have good roads, and we could do our work, and we could come to the yeshiva, and so on and so forth. Masha Einkein, where we're talking about that it's better that we have tons of rain, that's talking about where you had a dry year before. So to make up for that, you need a lot of rain in Tevet. The Omer of Chista, Gishamim sheyardu amiktzat medina. The amiktzat medina lo yardu, also ein be'amishum va'atzar. You should know that even though in your particular province it didn't rain, if there was rain in the general area, you don't have to feel that I have to be mis'ane because I'm included in a klola. Not true. Because basically, agriculture comes from one place to another, and it's an overall thing in that country. Wait a minute, how could that be? Because one of the things that it says in Amos about the rain is that v'gama nochim anati mikem et hageshem. I will make sure you don't get rain when there's 3 months still left for the katsir. And if I do bring rain, it'll be rain on one city, Amtarti al Yirachat, another city isn't going to get rain, Chelka achati mater, one area will get its rain. Isn't that, that's a klola. Gam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, both of these are laklala. The ones that do get the rain are laklala also in these circumstances. How does Rav Chista say that if it's a halfway drought, a partial drought, it doesn't matter? It does matter. No, it depends. Lokasha. When Rav Yehuda was saying that Rav said it was for a klala, it's talking about that there was tons of rain. Hada atatuva. You have too much rain in one area and no rain in the other area. And what Rav Chista was saying, that it's not a problem, is where you have sufficient rains. Amar Rav Ashi, you could see that in the Pasuk, for heaven's sakes. Dekanami. It says, Chalka achat timater. What kind of language is that? Timater. That's not the way we talk about it will rain, timater. Timater means it becomes rain, meaning tehei makom matar. The whole place will be flooded. It looks like a pool of giant puddle. That's not good. And therefore, both of them, says Reb Yehuda, is the one that doesn't get rain is no good, and the one that's sitting inundated underwater is also no good. That's why both of them are the klola. Obviously, that's not what we're referring to when we said it's not bichlal the klola. Omer Rebbe Abo, when do you make the brocha on the kishami? That is only, and again, we continue the male-female metaphor, mishiyetze chatan likrat kala. So you have over here the drops that fall from the sky. They elicit these additional drops that pop up. There's so much water on the ground that now a falling drop of rain causes rain to pop up to greet it. This is like the wedding already. So the chassid's coming out to greet the kala. And that's what we're talking about, where you've got the kind of water that makes the impact on you to say a brocha. May mevarech om Rav Yehuda omer Rav. We say the beautiful meidim. Meidim anachnu lecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol tipa v'tipa shoradet alanu. And Rabbi Yochanan says, but what's the rest of the bracha? The rest of the bracha is from Nishmas. Ilof inu malei shira kayom ulashoneinu rina kamon galav. And so on and so forth. You say the entire Nishmat until you say al yazvunu rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu and v'lo azavunu baruch rov ahodot. The same discussion that we had in Haggadah Shel Pesach, when we were in Masechet Pesachim, what do you say? And we have the same question. What do you mean, rova odaot? It's only most good things are from Hashem, not everything? We're not going to thank Him for everything? What about kol ahodaot? Says Rava, what you should say is el ahodaot. Rav Papa says, if you've got two mouths, like me, Papa, so then you say both of them. This is what Rav Papa always says, remember. Hilkach limrino letarvayu. You should say both el ahodaot v'rova ahodaot. What is this all about? Because rov has two different meanings. Rov could mean most of, and rov could mean the enormous amount of, right? So if you say just rov ahodaot, it can be heard by someone with connotations of most things I'll thank you for. That's awful. If you say el ahodaot, so then you're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the basis of everything that I'm grateful for in life. Rova odaot, overflowing with odaot, then it's clear that that's what it means. So therefore, if you say, and this is how Tosfos has it, this is how the halacha actually brings it, Baruch el rova odaot from the early Rishonim, that was the original lashon of the bracha. As I mentioned to you, there's big questions. We had this back in brachas also. Do you say hatova hametiv or do you say the modim? And there's different, the Gemara had different answers to that. Someone who owns his own field, and he owns it with somebody else, he says atova ametim. Or somebody who is shomea on gishamim, he says atova ametim. Somebody who doesn't own his own field says the birchas hamodim. And many, many different shitas, which we'll talk about halacha lemaisa when we get to it.